Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 31 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jonathan Burton.
That's the argument he always makes. You gotta vote for me. I'm so powerful.
A candidate for Senate blames the incumbent for a complaint against her campaign.
A new bill will raise the minimum wage in Kentucky.
Sports wagering legislation isn't a sure bet yet.
Some lawmakers are working to change the pardon process.
Kentucky's governor is hoping for criminal justice reform.
In sports, Moorhead State has a new athletic director and another national title.
But Luke has a stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low around 11 degrees. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
A U.S. Senate candidate is laughing off a complaint filed against her campaign. Last week, the Republican Party of Kentucky filed a complaint against Amy McGrath's campaign, alleging violations of the Federal Election Campaign Act and Federal Election Commission regulations. According to a press release on behalf of the Republican Party of Kentucky, the organization filed the complaint against Amy McGrath for Senate, its treasurer, Chris Patton, and campaign manager, Mark Nicholas. McGrath calls the claim preposterous.
Mitch McConnell has built this system, this swampy system of money and politics that is out of control. And now he is, you know, trying to make a preposterous claim against me. So, you know, that's all I'll say on it. It's worthless.
The Republican Party of Kentucky is asking for an immediate investigation into those allegations.
A newly proposed bill would raise the minimum wage in Kentucky. Democratic Representative Kathy Hinkle is sponsoring the bill. If it passes, the minimum wage would increase from $7.25 per hour to $8.20 per hour this summer, with increases of around a dollar every year until hitting $15 in 2027. Kathy Cook is a teacher in the Boyd County School District. She says having extra money in the education field is never a bad thing.
Prices are rising anyways. Without minimum wage going up, the prices are already raising anyway. So why not put a little bit more money in people's back pocket? Because we see the rising costs anyway. So I don't think it's going to change a whole lot.
The minimum wage bill is considered in-house Economic Development and Workforce Investment Committee.
Sports wagering legislation has been on the move early in the 2020 session, but it's far from a sure bet. Representative Adam Koenig's sports wagering bill cruised through a House committee on a 19-0 vote, but the bill's sponsor warns the committee is stacked with members who are favorable towards gaming, and the tally doesn't necessarily reflect the feelings of the full chamber.
We're not going to get a unanimous vote in the House, I can assure you that, but I'm very optimistic about the House. It's just a matter of we're trying to get as many votes as we can, which will help in the Senate.
The Herald Leader reports Speaker David Osborne isn't sure yet whether the measure has enough support and is holding off on a floor vote for now. Osborne told reporters earlier in the week he does anticipate the bill moving into the House. Prospects in the Senate are murkier, with that chamber's Republican leader, Robert Stivers, saying he's neither for nor against that bill.
Some lawmakers are working to change the pardon process in Kentucky. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has more.
On Wednesday, Kentucky Senate President Robert Stivers suggested forming a pardons commission. He said the commission would review cases and also make recommendations to the governor. These ideas follow a motion by former Republican Governor Matt Bevin, who gave hundreds of pardons on his final day in office. There are already two proposals filed. One would allow crime victims to be notified prior to the pardon or commutation of their offender. The other proposal would remove the governor's pardoning powers starting the month before the election through their inauguration. Stivers said in order to make changes to the current process, a constitutional amendment will likely need to be filed, suggesting Kentuckians will have the chance to vote on the matter. For WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Melton reporting.
Democratic Governor Andy Beshear says since 2004, Kentucky's prison population has surged 40%. The estimated cost increases to maintain corrections operations through fiscal year 2022 is more than $115 million. Beshear says criminal justice reform is necessary.
we absolutely have to have criminal justice reform, because year in and year out, the costs are going up, and they're going up at a level that is taking dollars away from important critical needs like our children's education and health care.
Bashir says he's looking at all cost-saving opportunities, including making changes to bail, probation, and parole.
Congress has voted to increase the excise tax levied on coal companies that provides cash flow for the Black Lung Disability Trust Fund. But advocates for miners who need the money say the one-year increase isn't enough to keep the fund from drying up. Rebecca Shelton of the Appalachian Citizens Law Center explains the fund pays coal miners with black lung disease and their families when the miner's employer is bankrupt or hasn't been found responsible for their illness.
The excise tax itself funds the Black Lung Disability Trust Fund, which is a trust fund managed by the federal government to pay out health care and monthly benefit for miners who are disabled by black lung disease and also their families.
According to federal data, more than 25,000 people currently receive benefits from the trust fund. Around 75% of all black lung benefit claims are paid for through the fund.
Witnesses testifying before Kentucky legislative committees may soon be sworn in under oath. As WUKY's Josh James reports, House and Senate leaders say the change may be necessary to prevent misinformation from making its way into the meetings.
And if you will introduce yourself for the record and tell us, present your bill, please.
Typically, speakers who come before General Assembly committees need only introduce themselves before offering testimony or fielding questions from lawmakers. But Senate President Robert Stivers and House Speaker David Osborne are weighing a new requirement that they be sworn in. The Herald Leader reports the change could potentially subject witnesses to perjury charges, a ban from testifying, or a referral to the Legislative Ethics Commission. While Osborne stopped short of listing any specific instances when he felt witnesses misled lawmakers, he said, quote, blatant misstatements have been given in committee hearings. Senate President Stivers hasn't instructed committee chairs in his caucus to administer the oath, but Speaker Osborne has given the option to chairs in the House. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
January is National Blood Donor Month, and the Kentucky Blood Center is asking people to take the opportunity to donate. Mandy Brajulia is with the Blood Center. She tells LAX18 donations tend to drop off in the winter, but demand is just as high.
People don't donate blood when they're eligible to donate blood on a regular basis, then there's not as much blood on the shelves of the hospitals. And so we serve over 70 Kentucky hospitals and provide all of their blood.
One donation can help about three patients. Donors must weigh over 110 pounds, be in good health, and be at least 17 years old with an ID or 16 years old with a parent's permission. For more information, visit kybloodcenter.org.
High-speed internet is helping Eastern Kentucky economies. The People's Rural Telephone Cooperative in Jackson County completed the installation of high-speed fiber optic cables in Jackson and Owsley counties 5 years ago. Keith Gabbard is the CEO of the cooperative. He says the initiative was lowered unemployment rates in the region from 16 to 5%.
In the two counties we serve, we've seen over 1,000 jobs created. In both of our counties, over half the people actually typically drive to a surrounding county to work. So that's the norm. Some of these people are working for Apple. They're doing tech support for Apple. They're working for a lot of different companies, and all of them are paying more than a lot of the minimum wage things that are available around here.
Gabbard says the internet also benefits local veterans who can't make the trip to the VA clinic in Lexington. Those veterans can now video conference with healthcare providers in the public library. The project cost $50 million. Gabbard says it's the best investment his company has ever made.
The Pikeville Main Street program has completed its first phase. The project was announced in 2018, and with the help of a and with the help of a $30,000 grant from AARP, plans to revitalize downtown Pikeville are moving forward. Charlotte Whitaker is the president of AARP Kentucky. She tells WYMT the grant was the highest awarding in the state this year.
You know, it can just blow up and be such a huge investment for anyone that wants to be a part of, you know, things that's going to come, and realize that this city is making a big effort to make sure that we continue to be, you know, a trendsetter.
The grant was used to update the plaza outside the Appalachian Center for Arts with seating and potential space for entertainment. More progress on the Main Street program is expected as funds become available.
A Pike County woman has been arrested recently on a child endangerment charge. Mountaintop News reports 34-year-old Melinda Adams of Big Hackney's Creek in Mouthcard was taken into custody by Kentucky State Police after a follow-up visit with social services from a previous encounter. Court documents say Adams failed to follow a prevention plan put in place by social services. Adams pleaded not guilty to the charge of endangering the welfare of a minor and then was released. She's due back in court on the child endangerment charge in July.
People in a home on Lexington's northwest side received a scare early Tuesday morning when a vehicle crashed into the residence before driving away. LAX 18 reports the vehicle slammed into the home about 1 a.m. on Alice Drive, not far from the intersection of Georgetown Road and Citation Boulevard. Police say several people were home at the time, including one person who was in the room that was struck. No one was injured in the crash. Authorities said the vehicle drove off and police are still searching for it. The Lexington Fire Department has shored up the structure and residents will be able to continue staying in the home.
A four-month-old baby is now reported as in stable condition after being shaken multiple times, allegedly by her father. Police arrested 23-year-old Robert Weber at Kentucky Children's Hospital in Lexington Friday night. Weber admitted to authorities that he shook the child to get her to stop crying. Chelsea Vergara, the child's mother, was working when she got the call to come to the hospital. Vergara tells WKYT she was surprised when Weber was arrested.
He kissed my son on the forehead, then he kissed me on the forehead, and he said, "I love you, I'm sorry." And that's when I noticed the handcuffs.
Vergara has been denied visitation to her daughter by UK Hospital for the child's safety. Weber is being held in the Bourbon County Detention Center on a $15,000 cash bond.
Taking a look at your region's weather, this afternoon sunny with a high near 32, tonight clear with a low around 14, Wednesday sunny with a high near 44, Wednesday night mostly cloudy with a low around 28, Thursday cloudy with a high near 49, Thursday night a 40% chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 35, Friday 90% chance of rain, high near 46, Friday night 80% chance of rain, low around 36, Saturday a 50% chance of rain and snow, cloudy with a high near 42.
Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's 30 degrees in Mount Sterling, 31 in Lexington and Winchester, 33 degrees over in Ashland, 32 in Grayson, 30 in Inez, and it's 32 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. On our feature segment today, we bring you our Island Universe.
For the past month, the speculation has been rampant. Is it going to explode right now? Has it exploded already and we just don't know? I'm of course talking about the bright star Betelgeuse in the constellation of Orion the Hunter that has been the subject of many articles recently in the news and online. My name is Chanel Barani, director of the Star Theater at Morehead State University and host of Our Island Universe. Betelgeuse is that orange-red star shining up and to the left above the belt of Orion. It is one of the brightest and hence one of the most recognizable stars in our winter night sky. This star is about 10 million years old and is what we call a red supergiant. We call it that because it's red and it's very big. How big? Well, if we replaced our sun with Betelgeuse, its outer envelope would extend past the asteroid belt, possibly to the orbit of Jupiter and beyond, wholly engulfing Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars. But over the past 5 months, it has been acting very weird. It's now only about half as bright as it was last winter. Rigel, the bluish-white star in the toe of Orion, is now in fact the brightest star in the constellation. What is going on with Betelgeuse? Betelgeuse is an old Arabic word meaning the hand of El-Jaza, or Orion. It is a massive star, about 10 to 20 times more massive than our sun, and it has quickly progressed through its life cycle. Stars, like us, are born, live, and then die. However, in astrophysics, mass governs fate. So you tell me the mass of the star, I will tell you its endpoint. We have known for several decades that Betelgeuse is an old, evolved star that is going to explode in a massive cataclysm known as a supernova at any moment. The last time a star exploded in our galaxy was 1604, and Johannes Kepler wrote a book about it. For astronomers today, having a star explode in our galaxy would provide a wealth of new science about stellar evolution as well as how the heavy elements are made in the resulting explosion. So the astrophysics community is very keen to see Betelgeuse explode right now. While the star may indeed explode at any moment could be tonight. It also means it could be 100,000 years from now. While 100,000 years seems long, our human timescales are tiny compared to the ages of stars. So now that the star is only half as bright as it was just 5 months ago, it has made some folks very excited because it might suggest that it's about to pop. To make the story even more interesting, on January 14, LIGO, our ground-based observatory that detects gravitational waves, announced that it had received a burst of gravitational waves from a location very close to Betelgeuse. Were there gravitational waves from it? If so, is that a clue that it's going to explode? We don't know if the gravitational waves detected was from Betelgeuse, but we do know that we didn't detect any neutrinos from it as we would expect. What we also know is that you can still see Betelgeuse in the sky, so it's still there. When Betelgeuse does explode, it will not cause us any harm here on Earth. At roughly 600 light years away, it is too far to do so. However, the explosion will be brilliant, about as bright as the full moon, and will be visible in our day sky for several weeks before it slowly fades away, leaving a small, dense neutron star or black hole in its wake. To me, all this excitement about Betelgeuse serves to remind me that there is so much we don't know, so much more for us to learn from such an event. But let's hope Betelgeuse explodes in our lifetime. Our Island Universe is produced at WMKY in cooperation with the Department of Physics, Earth Science, and Space Systems Engineering at Morehead State University, home to the Ronald G. Eaglin Space Science Center. Learn more at moreheadstate.edu/startheater.
It's 4:48 and 32 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jonathan Burton and Cody Robinson. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this chilly Friday, rather Tuesday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
MSU has a new athletic director and another national title. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ty Martin. Morehead State University announced today that a longtime coach, Jamie Gordon, has been appointed as athletic director. Gordon has been the volleyball coach at MSU for 18 years and served as the interim athletic director for the last 8 months. Gordon says he doesn't have any big changes planned, but will be looking for constant improvement.
You know, the way that we, you know, maybe have been doing something for a little while, are there adjustments, ways to improve our processes, ways to better serve our student athletes, and also making sure that we're embracing our institutional role. You know, we have outstanding faculty and staff that are committed, and we want to make sure that from an athletics department, we're reflecting that as well.
Gordon plans to continue coaching the volleyball team for the time being. The Morehead State University cheerleading teams traveled to Orlando, Florida over the weekend for the UCA College Nationals. The Eagle co-ed team took home their fifth consecutive title and 28th overall title during the competition. Here's two of the team's members speaking with Varsity TV after the awards were presented yesterday.
It absolutely to us. We do this all for our alumni, all girl, everyone else, and we couldn't be happier that we could bring back another title for this program.
Honestly, we always try to beat what we did last year. You know, last year we came off the mat not so happy with what we did. You know, we had one drop, but we came back, semis, had a couple difficult mistakes, but then, yeah, we wanted to put on a show.
Keyshawn LaFleur and Raven Marty won the 2020 co-ed partner stunt national championship, while Taylor Mills, Madison Fennell, Nicole Guest, and Abby Newman took second in the all-girl partner stunt. The Round County boys basketball team welcomes rival West Carter tonight. The 13-6 Vikings jumped up to the number 2 spot in the 16th region's Kentucky High School Athletic Association poll after going 3-1 last week. The Comets are 9-6 on the season, coming off a big win over Raceland in the 16th region All-A Classic last week. Round head coach Sean Thacker says he expects West to play a physically defensive game.
They're always year in and year out one of the top rebounding teams in the state, so our work on the glass is going to be critical. You know, they will come with some pressure, some 1-2-2, half-court trap, those kind of things. And, you know, we'll have to do a good job of taking care of the basketball. The script for us hardly changes as far as what the things we have to do to be successful. Tonight will be no different.
Tip-off tonight in Moorhead is set for 7:30 p.m. In other 16th region action tonight, Greenup County's boys host Ashland Blazer. Boyd County heads to Lewis County. Morgan County hosts Elliott County. Fleming County travels to Paris. Rose Hill Christian hosts Fairview, and Menifee County plays at Powell County. In girls' regional action, Rose Hill Christian hosts Fairview. Elliott County travels to East Carter. Lewis heads to Mason County. Paris hosts Fleming County. Raceland takes on Green, Ohio at home. There's a new number one in this week's AP Men's College Basketball poll. Baylor leaped over Gonzaga into the number one spot in the Associated Press Men's College Basketball poll to give the top 25 its seventh team on top this season. That matches the record set in 1983 for the most number ones in the history of the poll that dates to the 1948-49 season. Baylor received 33 first-place votes and had 1,591 points from the 65-member media panel. Gonzaga received 31 place votes for 1,588 points. Kansas, San Diego State, and Florida State replaced Duke, Auburn, and Butler in the top five after those three schools lost a pair of games last week. Kentucky drops five spots to number 15 after losing to South Carolina and beating Arkansas on the road. Super Bowl 54 matchup has been set. The Kansas City Chiefs will face the San Francisco 49ers. The Chiefs earned their way into the Super Bowl by way of a 35-24 win over the Tennessee Titans in the AFC Championship game Sunday. Here's Kansas City head coach Andy Reid on making the big game.
Our players and coaches, I'm so proud of them and for the job that they did getting us ready and getting us to this position. And the best part is we still have another game left. So we need to make sure we take care of business. From there, guys have been in, coaches have been in and cranking already on San Francisco.
49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan says it will be business as usual for his team leading up to the contest.
Totally regular week. We'll probably take Saturday off, and I think we head out there Sunday. But today we had a normal Monday, just reviewing the game from yesterday. When we're done here, they're going to meet with all our players and coaches and go over ticket situations and stuff like that so they can get that situated. Tomorrow will be the players' day off. We'll do our game plan and have a normal Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and get there next week and repeat it.
The Chiefs and 49ers will play for the Lombardi Trophy on Sunday, February 20th at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, Florida. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the Louisville gym where Muhammad Ali learned to box has a new historical marker to commemorate the boxer's beginning. When he was young, Ali's red bike was stolen, leading him to a police officer who trained at the gym. Now, a red bike hangs over the gym entrance. According to WKYT, Joe Martin told Ali he would have to learn to fight, and Ali started training at the gym. The marker was unveiled last week, the day before Ali would have turned 78. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Ty Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's and women's basketball welcomes OVC opponents Southeast Missouri on Thursday, January 30th, and UT Martin on Saturday, February 1st. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the national offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks pulled back from record levels after the Centers for Disease Control announced that a traveler from China was diagnosed with the first U.S. case of coronavirus in Seattle. And at the close of the Dow, industrials did finish with a loss of 152.06 at 29,196.04. The broader market not quite as weak. The S&P 500 was down 8.83 at 3320.79, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 18.14 at 9370.81. A big reason why the Dow had an unusually big fall was Boeing, as Boeing shares were very weak, falling more than 3%. On news the company doesn't expect regulators to sign off on the beleaguered 737 MAX until June or July. Shares were actually briefly halted in trading because of the influx of sale orders. Shares of casino and hotel companies, Wynn Resorts and Las Vegas Sands, were very weak today on the announcement of the first incident of the disease here in the United States, with both stocks falling more than 5% amid fears that this outbreak in China would dent international travel. And airline stocks hit their lows of the day following the announcement of the disease spreading here to the United States, with United Airlines and Delta both declining more than 2.5%. Shares of Southwest and American Airlines were down 2.7% and 4.2% respectively. The outbreak of this new coronavirus in China has killed 4 people with confirmed cases exceeding 200 ahead of the Lunar New Year holiday, and the new crisis has reminded traders of the economic fallout from the deadly severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS, crisis in 2003. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.5% at $58.25 a barrel. Gold was down 0.1% at $1,558.70 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were mildly weak, with the Stoxx 600 index down 0.8%. Asian markets were very low overnight, with the Nikkei down almost 1% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 2.8%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 81 cents at 45.04, Kroger up 24 cents at 28.39, CSX down $1.57 at 74.83, Marathon Petroleum down 71 cents at 56.18, and Anthem was up 71 cents to finish at 306.10. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Moorhead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is hosting a public forum on highway transportation needs in the Ashland, Boyd, and Greenup areas of Northeast Kentucky. The event will be held at the City of Flatwood Senior Center from 5 to 7 p.m. this evening.
The Mountain Arts Center in Prestonburg will host a concert for music education at 6 p.m. on Saturday, January 25th. Performers include Colby O'Brien, Wayne Graham, Magnolia Boulevard, Luna and the Mountain Jets, and others. Tickets range from $15 to $25.
The Cave Run Symphony Orchestra Society will conduct its annual meeting at 5:30 p.m. on Monday, January 27th. The meeting will be held at the Rowan County Public Library. Season ticket holders and all members of the society are invited to attend.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is hosting a public forum on highway transportation needs in the Ashland, Boyd, and Greenup areas of Northeast Kentucky. The event will be held at the Ashland City Commission Chambers Building from 5 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, January 28th.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Wyatt Melton, Nacogdoches Miller, Ty Martin, Lacia Hennenberg, and Cody Robinson. KNN's Haley Hansen, WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Moorhead State University Star Theater Director Chanel Varani. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jonathan Burton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.